Do dinosaurs still roam hidden parts of the earth? Why do dogs smell like that when they're wet? Answers to these questions and more on this episode of This Paranormal Life! Hello!
Hey!
And welcome back to This Paranormal Life, the weekly comedy podcast where every Tuesday you're joined by me, Kit Grimalvena, this guy sitting across from me, Mr. Rory Powers.
Hey!
And we dive into a different paranormal case, deciding by the end of the episode whether it's real or not. Rory, how are you doing today?
Great. Big questions right off the bat. What did you say? Do dinosaurs still live inside of the earth?
Whoa. Well, sorry, you've been eating edibles or something? I said, are they just on earth, full stop, somewhere hidden? You're saying inside the earth, which I do like.
If they got to go somewhere, you know? If I looked up at the sky and saw a giant meteorite coming straight at me, I'd go downstairs. I'd go in a hole.
Downstairs.
That's where I'd go. Yeah. Into the earth, into the ground.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what the closest is we've investigated to downstairs. Probably recently, the Paris catacombs, those went pretty far down.
Yeah. I think if a meteorite was coming and I saw it, I'd be like one of those birds that just buries its head in the sand. Its body is still completely visible, but I think I'm safe.
There's a lot to be said for that.
There really is.
The feeling of safety before inevitable destruction. Secondly, why do dogs smell like that?
I don't know. I've never had a dog before, so I don't know specifically what smell you're talking about.
You count your lucky stars, brother, because you so much as get a sprinkling of Evian near a dog, and it's like you unleashed a dirty bomb, a kind of Fukushima-level outpouring of gas.
Wash your dog. Wash your dog more, I think, is the answer to that question.
They do smell mysteriously bad. Dog owners will know. Rory, we actually, of course, aren't here to talk about either of those things, ultimately. As you know, for us paranormal investigators, and for paranormal enthusiasts around the world, like our listeners, there are certain words that will always captivate and terrify us for what they represent.
Mm-hmm.
Roswell, Sasquatch, Enfield, deodorant.
Right.
Or more relevant to today, Loch Ness. For hundreds of years, this murky lake in Scotland has represented the unknown and the paranormal. The Loch Ness Monster, or Nessie, is arguably the world's most famous cryptid. And back in 2017, just five episodes into a new podcast called This Paranormal Life, an apparently pre-puberty kitten, Rory, decided the Loch Ness Monster was a double yes, laying down history. Even if our voices were so high, only dogs could hear the conclusion.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go yes.
That's a double yes.
Yeah.
Wow, the bar was low back then. I think we recently did an episode of this podcast where I had to, just to get it a double yes, I had to provide 88 pages of declassified military documents, witness testimonies, audio recordings from witnesses, and newspaper cuttings from 1967. And at the end, it was still a coin toss as to which way it would go.
Evidence inflation. Back then, one page of evidence is worth 88 today.
Right.
It's a good question. I will say it surprised me looking back at that conclusion. But there is something to Loch Ness. And I don't want to be revising history right now. I'm trying to use the fact that Loch Ness is real as a lever for today's investigation.
Okay.
Because saying that Loch Ness really does have a monster is cool and all, but it actually raises way more questions than answers, because if Nessie is real, there could be others, right?
True, yeah.
Others in similar places, even. We should know, because we grew up somewhere pretty damn similar. Remember, we grew up only, I checked, 250 miles as the crow flies away from Loch Ness. Ireland is full of murky lakes, even bigger ones than Loch Ness. Is it possible that creatures like Nessie are hiding there right now?
I see. So proving the existence of one of these creatures, or at least saying one of these exists, implies that there could be others, and there could be some right on our doorstep.
You know, I don't remember how we said Nessie existed. If I had to guess, we probably favored the kind of prehistoric survivor hypothesis, that
yes,
this was more likely to be something like a dinosaur, some kind of ancient creature that survived, rather than a magic Sasquatch or something.
Who's to say, ladies and gentlemen, that these creatures are even confined to a lake? I think we need to storm Buckingham Palace, the White House, all buildings of significant importance, and grab anyone that looks like a snake. Just start grabbing people by the neck.
All right, well, if we're going to start walking into the White House grabbing snakes, there's going to be no one left in the White House. Am I right, guys?
Hey! Ayo!
Also, people went to jail for a long time for storming the White House or storming Capitol Hill. So let's not do that.
I did forget that. Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that.
We're going to reveal how this isn't just stoner chat, but a deep and crazy history on the Emerald Isle with witnesses, scientific research, and maybe, if you're lucky, evidence.
Brother, if it's about the paranormal, it's boner chat, because I'm excited.
Rory, are you ready?
I think I've established I am.
Let's dive in. After a couple words from today's sponsors, and of course a reminder that every episode, every single one of this Paranormal Life episodes over the last 6 or 7 years are available right now, ad-free, in one place. That one place is patreon.com/
This Paranormal Life.
Link in the description. We are in the southwest of Ireland, in Killarney National Park, filled with valleys and lakes, specifically Muckross Lake.
Sorry, one more time?
Muckross Lake.
Muckross?
More of a Muckross.
Muckross. Like if an Irish person lost their crucifix and they'd say, "Ha! Muckross!"
All right, that's a kind of... That's incredibly insensitive to
this. I'm just trying to get like... I mentally kind of remember things. So.
We have Irish listeners. Yeah, sure, not many. I don't know why. They just shun us for some general reason. Always have, always will. Not even in the top 10 listener destinations, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, but there's some.
Which is wild because we are both Irish as well.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah, they seem to have disowned us. But we don't want to piss them off any further, all
okay.
right? Because we didn't win big at the Irish Podcast Awards.
We were nominated for quite a few awards.
Yeah, but I think we can win big if we really nail this one.
Okay.
I'm not saying that's the only reason I'm looking into this absolute pile of horseshit that is today's case, but... Oh, sorry, are these things still on?
Yeah, let's cut that, please.
You're just going to have to grin and bear this episode, brother, because we need some more Irish stories in the podcast, all right?
Okay, I'm here for it.
All right. Well, hey, guys.
Hey, so, welcome back.
Oh, we're in Muckross. Hey, my favorite lake.
Oh, yeah. I love this one.
Muckross.
And I remember it because I respect it. Not through wordplay.
It's 2009, and John Downes has traveled from his home in England to Killarney to investigate the lakes.
Get that out of here, am I right? Lads.
All right. Hey, we got a lot of English listeners, brother.
You said to pander to the Irish ones.
Yeah, not that. Not in a violent way. Listen, I know they do.
We have to appease
and
everyone.
I can see the live numbers, and they are ticking up because Irish people love that. But we have way more English listeners than Irish
shit.
Listeners. And the British Podcast Awards are also coming up. So, which we didn't even get nominated for last year.
Me.
So we are between a rock and a goddamn hard place.
Okay. All right. Don't
so just.
Okay. All right. I'll try and not piss anyone off.
I'm like, the story goes on. Rory's like, foreigners out. Am I right? Britain and Ireland is the place to be.
Okay. An Englishman who we love is visiting Ireland, the place we love.
In a respectful way.
In a great way.
John isn't your average tourist. He's the founder of the Centre for Fortean Zoology. The CFZ. I believe we've come across these guys before.
Yep.
They've been around a long time. They self-describe as having investigated cryptids on 5 different continents, calling themselves the leading non-profit organization dedicated to finding and studying unknown or mystery animals. Mystery animals, I'm pretty sure I saw them in 2006 when I took acid at that rave in Belfast. But they did a sick set. They had a great keyboard player at the time.
Fun fact, for the first 2 years, this podcast was also non-profit, because then make a f***ing penny.
Well, after a day of driving around the Ring of Kerry, John, his wife, and 2 fellow investigators stopped on a hill overlooking Muckross Lake. I understand this is just Ireland only 15 years ago, but I am fully picturing Jurassic Park. 4 investigators, open-top Jeep, driving through thick rainforest.
Oh yeah.
They peered down into the valley, the subject of all their investigations, and where there had been word of movement on the lake. Just then, they saw some strange movements just below the surface of the water. It seemed to be some kind of large animal. Rory, thank God, John was carrying a camera at the time. It starts off slowly as John notices birds and small objects on the lake, but soon it becomes more interesting.
And here you can see something swimming slowly but surely across the water. It's far too big to be a duck, and in fact, if you look closely, you'll see that there's nothing above the water. It's something just under the surface. The whole thing is very reminiscent of the pictures which made the newspapers a couple of years ago when somebody took photographs of what appears to be an immense creature swimming across Lake Windermere. And could this be that uber predator? Just look at the way it's moving. It's far too big to be any known species of animal that should live in that lake.
As you can see, Rory, John's group were pretty far from this lake, about a quarter mile, just for reference.
Yeah.
So anything they're seeing, as he points out, had to be pretty big. But the moment we care most about is 6.5 minutes into this tape.
Look at this. You can see something large and dark and very, very fast, moving like a torpedo and leaving something like a torpedo trail in its wake as it zooms right towards us and then bears to the right. I've never seen anything like this before in my life, and it's difficult to know how to explain it.
All right, for those listening, there's some kind of commotion-y waves on the surface of the water, and then something, some kind of object. It's hard to tell whether it's either above the water or below the water, creates kind of like a bend pattern as it turns along.
Yeah, it does look quite a lot like in some kind of thriller movie or war movie when they do, as he said, launch a torpedo.
Yeah.
And it kind of like very quickly just shoots out under the water and curves around in a nice pattern.
I can't stress how hard it is to comprehend what's happening because for some reason they decided to stand a mile away and then zoom in as close as they could. Because at the start of this video, at one point, they're like showing the lake and this thing is shaking like crazy because it's zoomed in like 100 times. And I was like, oh, that must be, those ripples must be, like, I can see a boat there on the lake.
Yeah.
And he was like, that is a duck. And I was like, okay, well, I don't know what the f*** going on then. Perspective is really wild right now.
Yeah.
So even in this part where we see this kind of pattern, it's very hard to tell whether that could be an enormous sea beast or a pigeon.
Yeah. Well, it ain't a pigeon. I mean, hopefully that's the point of showing you the bit before, right, is because we generally know from watching the beginning, you see smaller things on the lake. You see whether it is a bird or a duck or whatever. And then we see a few minutes later something considerably bigger.
Different,
going
for sure.
Underneath the water. And yeah, it is funny. I mean, thankfully he caught that bit, the important bit on camera, because right before that, they see something, what they think is crazy. And he starts, this is full Cloverfield, the camera. He's so excited, he starts swinging the camera around.
It's insane.
Which is... Yeah, I mean, that's paranormal evidence 101, isn't it? Sadly, it's like all footage of natural disasters on Twitter or places like that. It's always like, you know, you get a glimpse of a tsunami and then the camera is just
the floor.
It's doing a 900 like Tony Hawk, just impossible to see what's going on.
One thing I want viewers to bear in mind as we proceed, though, through this case, when we talk about the Great Lakes and the sprawling hills of Ireland, I think a lot of people probably, including myself, pictured quite a large body of water, which, if that is the lake in question today, it is not a large body of water. I mean, it is and it isn't. It is a lake, and it's sizable, but it's not like I can't see the other side. It blends into the mountaintops. You could swim it.
It ain't Lake Michigan.
Yeah, you could just swim across this thing.
I mean, here's a good example. Here you could see that Muckross Lake is, you know, it's large, as mm-hmm. you can see, in relation to the towns and mountain ranges, but it is also connected to Loch Lean, which is a lot bigger. So kind of one and the same in some ways.
Yeah. Okay.
So Rory, yes, while it's not the biggest lake in Ireland, it is one of them. It is deep. It's about 250 feet deep.
Wow, that is actually deeper than I thought.
An interesting place to start with some fascinating yet incredibly shaky footage. You know, maybe this case is better known than we thought because that video has over 500,000 views.
Whoa!
And lots of comments from paranormal enthusiasts and is a key piece of evidence today. But why were they looking for a cryptid there in the first place? Well, it so happens that these lakes have long been associated with underwater monsters. local lore, anecdotal sightings, and myths have thrived in communities around these shorelines for generations. Locals have started calling the beast that lives in the lake Mucky.
That's kind of a cute name for a seemingly ferocious monster.
Most sightings described a very large eel or snake-like animal that moves quickly and occasionally breaks the surface. Some descriptions include fins a bit like the plesiosaurus, which is a bit more like Nessie. I needed a little bit of a reminder of what the plesiosaurus looks like, if it is supposed to be what Nessie looks like. It's this guy.
Whoa. Okay, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's Nessie, all right.
He's got the Diplodocus neck and head attached to kind of like a turtle's body. That's what the look we're going for here.
I actually tweeted this last night that I got pretty freaked out at midnight Googling dinosaurs. Hadn't looked at dinosaurs in a while.
It's a slippery slope, dude. Yeah, it's crazy.
It's one of those, I know this is, and I cannot stress how much I don't smoke weed, but this is a very, it can only be described as like a very like stoner thought whenever you're like, it's like, I get it that they existed. We all get it.
Yeah.
But whenever you really think about that, whenever you really think about it, and you look at the dates of when they lived, and then you start thinking about how long ago that was, about him being alive 208 million years ago.
It's terrifying.
At midnight last night, I wasn't okay with that.
I was recently at a kind of ecological park that was talking about kind of the history of the world, the environment, all that kind of stuff. And they were talking about some of the, what do they call, extinction events that have taken place in the past.
Sure.
And I kind of waltzed by it and I was like, yeah, no, I get it. The dinosaurs, the meteorite, the whole deal. And they're like, yeah, that's one of eight.
Mm.
There were like, I don't know, five or six global extinction events before it even reached the dinosaurs.
They were like, there was the reckoning, there was the damning, there was the bloodening.
But you're like, Jesus Christ, what was going on the earth when before the dinosaurs were kicking about? Because even the dinosaurs, it was like, I don't know, whatever, a certain percentage of Earth's life was wiped off the planet. Some of the ones that came before the dinosaurs, they were like, there was one dude left. One dude and a f***ing squirrel. And they had to make it work. It's like, everything was gone. It's crazy.
Getting back to Mucky and Nessie. The problem is, Rory, if Nessie has taught us anything, it's that aquatic monsters are very hard to spot and very hard to get evidence of.
Very true.
But I think with John's video, we're off to a rolling start. Rest assured, it's not the only proof of something big in the water. In April 2003, fish scientists were conducting hydroacoustic sonar scans of the lake to check the fish population.
And just to clarify, this is a human scientist that evaluates fish, not a fish scientist.
Hold up. Oh, shit. It was Aquaman. Human scientists checking fish populations.
Right.
This is boring stuff. These guys aren't quacks. These guys are just regular researchers. They're not quacks because they're not ducks and they're not fish.
Yeah, they're humans. That's a different scientist. Those are the duck guys. They're the quacks.
And Rory, they detected more than they bargained for. Something was getting in the way of their readings, something big. In the southeastern corner of the lake, they detected a 27-foot snake-like shape that baffled the team. Writing, we have been unable to identify exactly what this image is, but we know it was not a computer or logging error, as all the gear was functioning normally. The story caused a wave of interest and speculation and was picked up in news outlets as far as Japan. Maybe the first story that made Mucky nationally famous.
Wow. I was going to say, you know, maybe a little bit strange that Mucky's so relevant in Japan, of all places. But as a country that is, you know, one of their famous fictional characters is a monster that came from the ocean. maybe they're just pretty keen to figure out if any of them are real.
Right. Know? These scientists, they get back to the office, they're like, this is crazy, bro, we gotta tell someone about this. The colleague's like, hey Sean, Shinzo Abe is on the line. Huh? The Prime Minister of Japan is on the line. He's like, are you sure it's not Godzilla?
Just double check.
Just like
We know their movies and stuff, but like between you and me, we
some of them look pretty
just
real,
movies, bro.
The first two Godzilla movies were actually leaked CIA video files.
I like that. I like that connection. Mm. And you know, Japan, another nation fascinated with its own folklore. But yeah, I mean, a water beast is pretty much the modern mascot of the country.
Yeah.
We should be clear at this point. This has crossed over, right? We've gone from eyewitness testimony, rumors, legend, lore of stuff in this lake to, sure, it was ramped up a notch. Guys with experience of Loch Ness started looking into it and maybe saw some stuff on camera. Maybe, maybe not. It should be pointed out, it's entirely feasible that there is an undiscovered beast in this lake. It doesn't have to be shape-shifting or magic or anything like, you know, invisible Sasquatch. Because like I said, this thing is up to 250 feet deep. Is it possible we're dealing with a cut-off prehistoric animal? A creature that was supposed to be killed off with the dinosaurs, but it didn't get the memo, and it's living its best life to this day.
That is the popular kind of theory anytime we're talking about swamp, not swamp monsters, sea serpents, anything like that. It's an old dinosaur that is missed its expiry date and is still on the shelves. The only problem with that is, you know, that recent sighting, you said, when was that, 2003? Mm-hmm. That is very recent. That is only 20 years ago. That is at a point where we're entering a territory where people have very high definition cameras and also equipment, whether you're a human scientist or a fish scientist, where you should be able to capture whatever it is that is down there if you're seeing it. You know, these aren't sightings from the 1940s or earlier.
They did capture it on a scan.
What does that mean?
I mean, something's down there.
No. What does that mean? They captured it on a scan.
They saw a 27-foot long beast.
They saw it.
On a scan.
What is a scan? What do you mean? An X-ray?
Yeah,
sonar?
Like a sonar, yeah.
They saw it on sonar.
Yeah, the second one you said. That one.
An X-ray? Yeah. Sonar? Yeah.
They did.
How do you see 20 feet on sonar? I believe it's dots, right?
Yeah, well, there's this, they've got a scale.
There's a scan.
They've got a scale, don't they?
Okay, I'm not...
Yeah, you don't believe in scientists? You don't believe in Sean the scientist?
I just want to take that into consideration. I want everyone to take that into consideration. That this isn't...
That going forward, you
it's
need...
It's not the 1500s.
You need...
We're talking about 20 years ago.
Hey, this was the problem with Loch Ness too, right? Was all the photos of Loch Ness were garbaggio.
Yeah.
Of not Loch Ness, but Nessie the monster. And I mean, I think with Loch Ness, they have got into all that. And in that sense, has our verdict aged like milk? Because there should be 100 4K GoPros set up around the lake at all times, live streaming so that anyone on Earth can just see it when it pops out. There should be.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I can't even tell you how many sea serpent-like cryptids we've investigated on this podcast before. You know, as you said, the Loch Ness Monster, the sea serpent of Lake Koshkonong, the Ogopogo. God, there's probably so many more that I can't remember. The Lake Michigan sea serpent. I think we did that one at a live show when we were in Chicago. There's just so many out there. And unfortunately, very often it does come down to a no, because this is the problem. Is, you know, when we're talking about cryptids that live in the forest, in the jungle, you know what else can live and breathe in the jungle? Humans. So it's pretty easy to look in the jungle and walk through the jungle and find the thing. Mm-hmm. We can't breathe underwater. We can't even really see underwater. So as soon as that thing goes down, it's gone. It's disappeared into darkness, the mist of the earth. And that becomes a big problem.
I agree.
Because it's very hard to see.
The problem is you f***ed up and mentioned the Ogopogo. And unfortunately
I
for you,
knew
that
the
is
second
real.
I mentioned
that is
the
real.
Ogopogo.
And we gave that a yes, even though we didn't have to,
really
on a bonus episode. So if you haven't heard that episode, you have to go listen to that episode if you want to hear about a real... You know, I'm not saying this one isn't real, but if you want to hear about a real sea serpent that we already gave a double yes, that is one on the Patreon.
The Ogopogo episode was fantastic because the entire time I was saying it was a no.
Yeah.
Right up until the last minute, and Kit said, well, if you don't believe me, here's a video of it. And he just showed me a video of the Ogopogo, and I was like, all right, that's a yes.
And Rory, shouldn't that be the lesson? Is that imagine if that video had never been taken. We had to wait all those years of people theorizing about the Ogopogo, talking about the Ogopogo, and then we just took some lucky son of a bitch to point their flip cam at the lake to capture it. And maybe that's what we're waiting on here.
That's true. But until that day arrives, my verdict may be a no.
You don't know what's coming.
I'm excited.
I do want to support the idea of this cut-off prehistoric animal theory by saying that this lake is actually already home to one species of fish that doesn't exist anywhere else on Earth.
No way!
It got cut off during the Ice Age and survived when all the others died.
Shut up! That's crazy!
So it's already happening. Rory, what we do know is that Muckey in Muckross Lake is far from the only sighting of a water beast in Ireland across the years. There are several major lakes with supposed cryptids spotted in them. From Loch Derg to Loch Ree to Loch Anna and more. But there's one loch that really piqued my interest that we're going to take a look at right after a couple of words from today's sponsors.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, we're back and we're talking about Muckey, and in this case, some creatures that also might exist like Muckey in other lakes. I became tantalized when I found out about Loch Fada and the rumors surrounding a beast that may live inside the lake. My interest was piqued because we have video testimony of a sighting.
Is there a loch that doesn't have a sea monster in it?
Yes.
In Ireland? Because you just rattled off like 14 different lochs.
I think ironically, you know, I don't know if everyone knows this, but the biggest lake in the country...
You're like, our biggest export is snake meat from Ireland. Fun fact.
You know the way St. Patrick drove out all snakes? Where do you think they went, bitch? The water. Not everyone knows because Loch Ness is so famous.
Right.
Our biggest lake is Loch Ney.
Yeah.
And actually, before anyone is like, shut up, you guys don't have a Loch Ney. It's the biggest lake in Britain. In Britain and Ireland. In all of England, all of Scotland, all of Wales, all of Ireland. That's the biggest one.
Really?
Yeah, it's massive. And it's been in the news because it's poison now.
Okay, great.
Yeah,
of course it is. Yeah, fantastic.
But funnily enough, I mean, after all the chats, there's been a lot of Loch Ney news in the last year. And it is massive and it's well known. Da, da, da. I don't think there's any. I mean, I might be wrong. But I don't think there's actually any rumors of our biggest lake having anything in it.
Which is disappointing because that's probably the one that you just don't want to be poison.
Right.
If there's sea monsters in every other loch on that island, poison those ones. I mean, poison those and let them float to the top.
And unfortunately, Loch Ney, the big one, is where all our drinking water comes from. So it being poison is bad.
Do I want to know how it has become poison?
I think farmers just dump like cow shit into it.
That's what I was worried about.
I think that's what it is.
Okay.
I think they've been doing that for 100 years and now it's poison.
That's going to be Ireland's next extinction event. We all drank cow shit and died.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone's been paying attention to like UK news over the last 2 years, but there's shit in all the water, it turns out.
It's bad.
Kind of, I think like a couple of years back, our kind of government of the UK kind of said it was okay to dump shit in water, and then everyone started doing it and now it's bad.
What a fun little time to be alive. to put poop in the one thing we need to live. That's great. That's cool.
Rory, let's cut to that video testimony.
As it came towards us, it suddenly opened its mouth, which opened something similar to a shark-shaped mouth. And we did notice the body had all movement in it. And in colour, it seemed a kind of a bluey-black shade. And it came right up along until suddenly I moved. And when I did, the others jumped as well as I did. So then it suddenly just took fright and went right around a rock, which is still there at the point, if you notice it further, and went down. We could see the movement in the water as it went down. And very quickly again it came up, but it was quite a long distance from us when it did come up. It had moved much quicker going out than it had coming towards us.
And what did you think it was when you saw it, Miss Morgan?
I had never seen anything like it before in my life. I had seen sharks and seals and a whale, but I had never seen anything like this.
And what did you think it was when you saw it?
I couldn't put a name on it.
As always, it's pretty interesting, isn't it? Whenever you finally have to hear someone actually say what they saw and you're like, yeah, wouldn't really know what to say to you if you told me that to my face.
I may have missed this. Did we tell the audience that this video clip was from the 1800s?
No, it's from 1967.
It is not from 1967. Those people look like they rode into the interview on a penny farthing.
Listen, Ireland was a different place at the time.
That is insane.
I say that if you went to rural Ireland, that kind of is what it looks like. Even if you pointed an iPhone 15 Pro Max, it would still be black and white. The audio would still sound like that. That's what TikToks from Killarney look like right now.
That is, wow, I would have assumed that was from the literal 1940s or something. That is really old school.
Yeah, it is a bit, yeah.
Okay, well, look, hey, good to hear a testimony. Not entirely sure that two elderly women kind of claiming they saw a strange fish.
Elderly? They were 28 years old.
They definitely weren't.
I bet they weren't that old.
One of them is chewing Werther's Originals while knitting mid-interview. Okay, but good to get some testimonies from just witnesses, normal people.
Did you wake up on the wrong side of the bed? You're poking holes in everything. You're poking holes in everything. You can't simply just enjoy a story.
Sorry. Also to clarify, this isn't even about the lake we're talking about. They're talking about a different lake.
A nearby lake.
So not even, this is a testimony from 70 years ago by two women who are talking about a different lake.
A nearby lake. A nearby lake. And this is all going to become clear very soon. Okay. Why? Okay. I'm talking about a different lake. Don't you think it would be a little bit interesting if you were investigating the Loch Ness Monster? And imagine you've got all your cameras set up on Loch Ness, yeah, and you're investigating it. You're all chips in on Loch Ness. And then some guy's like, hey, yo, they just saw the same beast in a different lake 5 minutes away. Are you going to be like, yeah, I think I'm good. I'm staring at the lake where there's nothing going on right now. Or would you be like, nice, maybe he got there somehow. I'm going to go and see.
Oh, I see. So you're implying it's the same creature, but he has gotten to a different lake?
Maybe it's cousin or something.
Okay, so it's not the same creature.
We don't know.
Okay. We're just trying to understand.
Well, the same species, okay, for sure.
Okay, but these lakes aren't connected unless this thing did like a Free Willy style leap across Ireland and landed in the other pond. This is not the same creature, we're saying.
What happened next was exactly what I wanted to happen in TPL style. Some of the team from Loch Ness and its Phenomena Investigation Bureau got wind of what was going on at Loch Fada. They came over to investigate it, headed up by decorated British Army Captain Lionel Leslie. He was a World War II hero and wrote books on big game hunting, but it was hunting cryptids that excited him most. He arrived in 1965 with a glint in his eye and a plan, aka dynamite.
I knew this was coming.
Captain Leslie first came here to investigate the monster report in 1965. And for him, this is a serious business.
He's lowering dynamite into the lake.
Is that what that is?
He's a member of the Loch Ness Phenomena Investigation Bureau and has spent 5 years on the so far inconclusive search for the monster that's said to live in the deeps of that somber Scottish loch. The idea was to blast the monster here with noise and make him rise to the surface. But nothing happened. So this year he's back again. Across the narrowest section of the loch, he stretched a strong net, baited with rotten meat, into which he hopes to attract the monster from the depths.
I was looking at your implementation here, Captain. I wonder, it's not very sophisticated looking. What chance of success do you think it has?
Well, I've been assured by experts who've been employed on anti-submarine devices during the war that instruments like this have been sufficient to put off acoustic mines. You see, underwater, any form of noise or vibration is five times as intense as in air. And I believe that by making these noises in the deeper parts of the loch, we could manage to get these things on the move. At any rate, it's an experiment.
Even though it's just sort of tin cans with stones in
it. Tin cans with...
The idea is to capture it, and bring it ashore.
Capture it and bring it into shallow water. Keep it alive as long as possible for zoologists to examine it and films to be made of it.
Does this mean then that you're a one-man band, as it were?
Well, no, the Loch Ness Phenomena Investigation Bureau are very interested and are giving us their moral support. The net is being paid for by well-wishers. This is the first effort that in history that anybody has tried to set out with a net to catch anything.
The idea is to catch it, capture it, and bring it ashore.
Capture it and bring it into shallow water. Keep it alive as long as possible for zoologists to examine it and
so film kill it
to be made of it.
Is it an expensive business, monster hunting?
Well, it is if you go in for any length of time. But we take it as a sort of glorified holiday at Boston expense.
Can you say then at this stage,
don't let Boston hear this,
you're likely to see or catch anything?
I wouldn't like to prophesy anything. It's a gamble, and unless I have beginner's luck, there's nothing likely to happen. But somebody's got to break the ice, and we're breaking the ice, and once you've made the pioneer effort, something else will follow in after year.
I do love that he kind of broke after a few minutes of interviewing and said that it was all a big holiday at the end.
Yeah.
Man, that interviewer was really not having it. He was like, your net is made of tin cans full of rocks.
Yeah, he's like, how was your adventures in Loch Ness where you found nothing? And he's like, no, we made progress. It's like, cool. Do you think you'll find anything here? Yes, obviously.
But unfortunately, Rory, as we heard from the video, he was unsuccessful in capturing the beast, probably because he blew it to smithereens a year earlier by dropping dynamite in the lake.
Yeah, I don't like this guy. That's incredibly irresponsible and damaging to the local wildlife.
Yeah.
You know, because we could all find the Loch Ness monster if we really wanted to. We just drop a big toaster in the lake and that thing would float to the top. But we don't, because there's rules, there's regulations, and there's the right way to do things.
I guarantee someone's done that. We've seen that there's enough crackpots who live by the lake and all that stuff. Someone's definitely sneakily gone down with a toaster and just chucked it in. Yeah, I know. I don't know that I mean, I do understand it was a different time. As you say, we're getting up on 60, 70 years ago now that this was happening. But I don't know that I totally agree with his methods. Throwing in a bomb and then trying to capture it with a net and then... I'm glad the interviewer asked. He said, what do you plan to do once you get it? And he was like, probably show it around like King Kong for a while. Yeah. Hopefully keep it alive for as long as possible. But honestly, we'll probably eat it for dinner.
We'll take a couple pictures and then eat it. Yeah.
And Rory, that's why cryptid hunting has gone woke, because people want to protect wildlife now. When it used to be all about killing them as soon as you capture them, stuffing them full of stuffing and then putting them on the mantelpiece.
Yeah, someone who is a cryptid hunter also shouldn't be a regular hunter.
He shouldn't be a colonel in the army.
Because I think being a cryptid hunter is hunting for the truth and evidence of the existence of the creature, not trying to put a bullet in the back of its head and turn it into a rug.
I know. I don't want to psychoanalyze Colonel Lionel too hard, but there does seem to be a vibe, doesn't there, right, of these, like, whether it's Colonel Lionel or other people we've investigated over the years, or, you know, even to a lesser extent, you know, Neil Armstrong. It's like these guys who, like Neil, went to space, explored the frontiers of space, or Lionel, who was a war hero in World War II, apparently. It's almost like they get back to civilian life and they're like, I mean, we've talked about it before. It's the hashtag next mission.
Right.
What is the next mission? You kind of get the sense that this guy, he's wearing a beret. He's got like an army coat on.
The war's over, buddy.
Yeah.
You don't need to drop bombs in a lake anymore.
Like, I don't doubt that he's sinking pints at the pub afterwards and like having a good time. But yeah, he definitely is like, where did he get dynamite? Why? If he's just a civilian, why does he have dynamite?
Yeah. I'm not surprised that he didn't find anything.
Well, I'm not surprised Lionel came to Ireland, because this is where cryptid cases can be fascinating. Because not only is it, as I say, scientifically possible for there to be a beast, we've already seen the stranded species who've survived the ages and the depth and size of the lake, and there have been countless sightings of water beasts. There is also already mythology throughout Ireland pointing to creatures just like this. Now, while there are lots of different ones, there is a tale in this exact area of an ancient and gargantuan sea serpent.
Ooh, sea serpent.
The Peisht is a worm or serpent said to have actually carved one of the lakes in the Black Valley through sheer force of strength.
Damn.
One of the mountains that overlooks this area has a high point called Crochna Peisht, or the Peak of the Serpent. That is kind of mad, isn't it?
How big is this motherfucker supposed to be? He carved a mountain?
I think this is insanely cool. This is the stuff that I really love, when it really tells us a lot about the paranormal, the hunt for the paranormal, the discussion about the paranormal, because it frames it as saying, this isn't a new thing. Like,
right.
If we're discussing it, if we're reading blogs about it, looking at photos and videos, this is just continuing probably a conversation that's been happening for a long time.
Yeah, I would say, you know, when we're entering a territory where we're talking about ancient beasts carving lakes and mountains, we're definitely entering the realm of folklore, mythology, very old school belief systems, rather than it being a genuine belief that a creature like this physically existed in our world.
But doesn't it become interesting when we already have the folklore and then fish scientists say, we saw a 27-foot-long beast in the lake?
Right. Not that big if this is the fish that was supposed to have carved a mountain. Really,
yeah,
not that large.
They were always exaggerating shit back in the day. You make a great point that it is folklore.
Yeah.
To that, here's what I will say, and this isn't a defense for Mucky or this particular serpent, but just something I was reading and thinking about recently, which I found so cool and fascinating. I can't wait for us to do more cases on Australia.
Of course.
Because I think it's something we haven't tapped into enough. I mean, obviously we ignored it for a long time because we thought it wasn't real, but now that we know it is real.
Allegedly.
There's a really fascinating thing to do with, just in the same way that when we look at Native American stories in North America tell of amazing paranormal folklore, they have the same thing in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander culture in Australia. They have amazing stories. The difference is maybe between them and in Ireland, or maybe it's not, maybe it is the same, is that in Australia they have this thing called the dream time, right? The dreaming. And this is like the big word for
nap
time. Sorry,
it's
not. No.
It's a time at about 3:30, 4:30.
No.
If you've had a big lunch.
If you would let me finish.
Sorry.
And I'm sorry, I'm going to butcher it for the Australian listeners, but very broadly, this is like a combination of their folklore, their creation myth, and their just lore
right.
in general. But it's not something in the past, it's something present and living and breathing and now. They tell stories of amazing creatures that lived in the land, spirits that inhabited places, rocks, trees, etc. Stories that we would be tempted to just put down to mere myth, mere folklore, the same way we do in this part of the world. The difference is the Aboriginal Australian people, they have been there for 65,000 years. And the coolest thing of all is their stories talk about animals that went extinct 30,000 years ago, 20,000 years ago.
Ah.
There was all these different megafauna, giant sloths, kangaroos the size of skyscrapers, by all accounts, but amazing creatures that aren't around anymore. Animals that we would believe to just be a myth, just a story.
Right.
But they have remembered through their oral tradition for thousands of years, through these stories.
Right. Amazing and beautiful animals that we ate into oblivion.
I mean,
most of the pictures and symbols of these once magnificent creatures are now seen in cookbooks from the ancient societies. They were among the most delicious of all the animals.
Yeah, we look at cave paintings and they've got like, yeah, a giant sloth on a spit roast. It's like, oh dear.
Oh.
I bring this up not as some kind of proof that Mucky or one of these sea serpents is there now.
Right.
But I feel that there's something going on there. Ireland is also an oral tradition. How can you have these ancient stories, the names of the mountains named after a sea serpent, and then through to the modern day tales of serpents living in the lakes, even sightings. Damn, if there isn't something there now, it seems like there was a long time ago.
Yeah, I mean, that is kind of true to every location on Earth. There may not be a dinosaur there right now, but there was at one point, most likely.
Well, right, but also within humans' lifespan. Because yes. Humans have only dinosaurs. Been around for like tens of thousands of years or whatever.
Yes.
Dinosaurs should have all died millions of years ago.
I feel like, yeah, well, definitely not dinosaurs. There probably ain't any more dinosaurs kicking about.
You did bring something up earlier, which is worth mentioning, and I didn't realize this, but just how connected these lakes and waterways are. You guys know, it rains a lot in Ireland. Some days, the whole country is just one big puddle.
Oh, yeah. You know how you can tell it's summer in Ireland? The rain is warmer. That wasn't a diss to any of our Irish listeners, by the way, of course.
Listening.
It rains everywhere, is what I'm saying. So that wasn't an insult. So keep listening, please.
The lakes aren't isolated. The Shannon River is the longest river in the UK and Ireland, and it connects to many other waterways and channels. I believe this came up in the Loch Ness investigation, too. We were like, I think this guy is like commuting. I think the Loch Ness Monster is commuting from Loch Ness to other places and back. Could be another way in which a beast would remain undetected for so long as it travels between places.
I mean, that would be a way he would very much become detected. If all of a sudden he's swimming beside you while on the motorway.
So while the investigation has been frustrating, throwing up tons of testimony and even some footage of a potential beast, like Lionel Leslie himself, we're finishing shorthanded. Despite sightings all around the country and dozens of witnesses over the years and the existence of a water beast in Loch Ness, we just can't seem to pin down Mucky.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, a lot of today's case wasn't about Mucky, which was a twist I wasn't expecting.
It was.
just a weird idea to be like, today we're investigating a creature buried deep underwater. To find out more, we're going into the jungle. It's like, okay, well, that seems very different.
Mucky is the pesht. The pesht, the ancient sea beast, is Mucky. They're one and the same.
Is that a popular belief or is that a theory you're trying
That's
to establish?
That's my personal belief. The Loch Ness Monster and Mucky are cousins.
Okay, so the legendary creature that was big enough to shape mountains on the face of the earth now lives in a puddle in Ireland.
Is his great-great-great-great-great-grandson. It's not the same one. Okay. That would be crazy. It'd He's be millions gone. Of years old.
Yeah, it's called Loch Lean because he really shedded some of that weight
right.
from his prehistoric days.
Yeah, he's prepping for a role. Rory, I've taken you on a bit of a journey, one we haven't done in a little while, of looking at a water beast, a sea serpent. Well, a lake serpent. Where's your head at?
You know, we've been down this road so many times, honestly, and I think it's always the same problem we come up against is, come on, guys. Come on.
You haven't even tried. You haven't even tried. You woke up on the wrong side of the bed.
No.
You haven't even tried. You were pissed off from the beginning of this story.
Here's the thing. If you're looking for a creature in the jungle and you can't find him, fair play. Jungles? Kind of
you said the opposite earlier. You said you can simply walk around and if you don't see him, he ain't there.
No. I've changed my...
Whatever you were about to metaphor. Say is cap. You're speaking Capanese.
Jungles are huge. And when the jungles end, there's just fields and it just goes forever. That's the earth, right? If you're looking for a creature that lives in a lake, there's only one place he can be, and that's in the lake.
Oh yeah, and by that logic, we would have explored all of the world's oceans. Oh wait! Scientists say we haven't discovered precisely jack shit of what's in the ocean, because it's actually really hard.
Okay, so you said, scientists said we haven't examined precisely jack shit?
Yeah.
So...
you know what I mean.
Okay. All right, yeah, well the we're not dealing with an ocean beast here. We're dealing with a lake beast. A lake that I think you said is 200 feet deep. Fine. I guess that's pretty deep. I could throw a stone to the other side.
You couldn't.
So it's not that wide.
You're pretty good at baseball, but even you couldn't.
So I'm just saying, if in 100 years we haven't been able to snap a pic of this guy, I'm a little suspicious.
I actually do have a pic. Do you want to see it?
Yeah, sure. And it's so worrying that you tried to end the episode without bringing it up.
Feast your eyes!
When was this taken? Who took this? And why did you almost not show it to me?
What do you think of it?
I think it's weird. It's so hard to tell what's going on here. I see the lake water. There's mountains in the background. And then there is just an incredibly, suspiciously black blob protruding from the water.
That's not a blob. That's the Loch Ness Monster. Mucky, in this case.
So not the Loch Ness
Monster.
It is
mucky. It's mucky. It's Muckross Lake. It's mucky. So, what I'm saying is it looks like the Loch Ness Monster.
Okay. That's mucky.
We got a yes.
When was that taken? And who took it?
It was taken in 1981.
Okay.
It is one of the more well-known photos of mucky. It was taken by a known hoaxer. He actually was so known, he got his ears cut off in Prague for defrauding people.
Okay. All right. I can see
which
now.
Which is why
you
didn't
want
it in the episode, because I wanted to focus on the legit stuff like the video. Remember, the video was pretty good.
The video was okay. The video was okay.
Oh my
yeah.
God. Tough crowd. All right. Wow.
It's a tough one. Hey, look, cryptid cases are one of the hardest to prove because we do need some physical, tangible evidence at the end of the cases. Otherwise, the cases have to be incredibly strong,
like
a with a lot of testimonies.
Like a torpedo.
So,
under the water.
Without that evidence, fortunately, it's going to be a no from me this week. Sorry to say. Kid is devastated. I wish you could see the look on his face right now. So I just want, just to be clear.
Well, we're not getting any Irish listeners. That much is clear.
I feel like it would be dangerous to align yourself with the World War II captain who also believes and wants to flood the lake with dynamite and catch all the fish in a big net. That's not a good teammate to have in this argument.
I do have a soft spot for this story, clearly. And I do get excited when there's tales of a serpent coming from so many different angles. And listen, I'm buoyed, to use a water pun, from the existence of, we've confirmed on this podcast, two at least to my knowledge, sea serpents, well, lake serpents, the Ogopogo and the Loch Ness Monster.
First
so
one
am
might
I,
have been
so,
a mistake.
Am I so f-ing wrong to give this thing a chance? Because there's been evidence for those, they turn out to exist. That if we get some evidence for this and there's enough people talking about it, that this feels like it could be a shoe-in. It's only a couple hundred miles away from Loch Ness. But I do have to concede that we are missing the silver bullet that was the Ogopogo final video.
Yeah. Yeah. We've had some incredible sea beast cases that unfortunately have come down on a no just because we're missing that final piece of the puzzle.
You thought this was incredible too?
I thought it have definitely had some interesting moments and themes. Yeah, and that's all I'll say about that.
All right. Well, seeing as you're being pretty nice about it, I guess I can give it a no.
Right.
So it's a double no today. Unfortunately, we're missing that last key bit of evidence. Hope you enjoyed the investigation, though, into Mucky. Hopefully we'll get another real sea serpent on our hands. Or, you know, if you live near here, do us a favor. Make a homemade bomb.
No.
Put it in the water.
Do not do that. I think even just saying that on a podcast is probably a bad idea.
To get the sea serpent, obviously.
Yeah. Not for any other reason.
Okay, not a bomb then. Just like splash about a bit. Splash about. I think the logic was solid. Make a bit of fuss, make a bit of noise, splash about. He shouldn't eat you, I wouldn't think. even though a few people have gone missing from the lakeside, and try and drive them out.
Move around, flop around like an injured seal, drop a few little drops of fish blood in the water, and he'll come. He will come.
And if you have any of your own insights or thoughts on this one, send them through. thisparanormallifepodcast@gmail.com.
I think I put so much bad stuff in my body. I think if any animal ate me, they would die.
Right. Yeah. Well, we've already established that our drinking water is filled of shit. So we are poison now.
Right. Which is worrying because I think 60% of your human body is water. And I was already full of shit. So
I'm 100% of a gobshite. But guys, if you couldn't get enough of this paranormal life this week, if you're fiending for more, maybe I've left you teased on the edge of your seat for a double yes for a sea serpent. Rory, let's drop in a goddamn clip of the Ogopogo episode right here so the good people at home can check out a little bit of a Patreon episode, see what they're getting in for, and maybe they would want to check it out.
Great idea. Roll the clip. I'm going to go on record and say that was some of the most convincing evidence I've ever seen in any episode of This Paranormal Life.
This is wasted on a bonus episode.
I'm ready to swear down right now that this motherfucker is real.
We saw it. We saw it with our own eyes.
I mean, that's about as real as it can get. It's like, we have a footage where we caught him on camera. Folks, it's real. I just saw it in a lake. Unless they built a giant animatronic fucking snake machine for this TV show, then I don't know what else I just witnessed. Humps. We just saw humps moving through like a giant, like God, it was Godzilla. It was Godzilla, folks, living inside this lake.
Truly, the only possible alternative explanation is a high-level hoax.
Yeah, like I said, a fucking Universal Studios-level Jurassic Park ride animatronic sea monster.
Which is not impossible, but when you start to put it all together with the other sightings, and when you look back to, you know, the...
What was that thing?
The mid-1800s.
I am shook right now. I'm genuinely shook.
It's quite... There's something quite funny about waiting till this late in the episode to show you that.
Yeah, it's like, everything we've been through. Oh my God.
Like, I was like telling you all about how to pronounce it in the local Native American dialect.
We need to stop global warming. This thing needs to be able to live wherever it wants.
Because if it runs out of water, it might start eating people.
Yeah, 100%. Hey!
Oh, we crack ourselves up. That is patreon.com/thisparanormallife. Where you can get a bunch of other rewards too. We've got after party episodes every goddamn week. That is double the TPL. Coming out every single week.
Whoa!
Monthly bonus episodes, limited edition golden coins.
Holy shit.
And of course, at the end of episodes, we like to give a little shout out to those who are supporting us on the shout out tier.
You forgot about the secret tier I added over the weekend.
Why would I know about it then?
Well, because I thought you kept a eye on the Patreon and kind of the updates and stuff like that. But if you don't know about
it was secret.
Well, it was secret that I did it. It should be very public knowledge now because it is made national news.
Really?
For the small fee of $1,500 a week, I will cut the brakes on whatever car you ask me to. No questions asked. I'll just do it. Really, the less I know about the car, the better. So, you know, keep it vague. Just say...
You'll kill somebody.
Just say... No, not necessarily. I don't know what happened.
You're a hitman.
So just say, red car, that street. And I'll just snip every single red car.
Okay, so you'll kill a lot of people.
But that way, I don't know who died because of me and who just crashed.
They're all because of you.
We don't know that.
They wouldn't have crashed. Statistically, they wouldn't have crashed.
So,
just coincidentally.
Check out the Patreon. All right. You go on the snip tier, and I for a very small price will perform.
Set up your own Patreon. I just think don't lump that in. It seems to have no relevance to the podcast. So
it just kind of fits.
Like,
so it's kind of like, you know, if you like the show,
really
you can get
that.
More of it. If you have enemies, I'll kill them.
You just said two non sequiturs.
Sorry,
one after.
I'll cut.
Don't cut
the
them.
Wires. Sorry, I'm mixing this it up now. You're getting me stressed.
It's just our legal fees.
Yeah.
Is all the Patreon every month. And some.
just to keep the lawyer on
retainer.
Yeah, he actually advised me not to talk about the
tier. We got the guy who got OJ off.
So check out the tier. Check out all the tiers. They're all equally good.
Sure. Special thank you to Shane Lukic.
Oh, Luke. It's Shane.
Oh, Luke.
Lukic. Shane over there. Hey, Shane, how's it going, buddy?
We are looking at Shane quarter of a mile away through a 100x magnified digital video camera. Oh, it's a duck.
It's a duck. Oh, yeah, I was just going to say. Yeah. I thought he was doing the backstroke.
We should have known that.
Yeah.
Thanks to Tyler Flaspolar.
Tyler, for a very small fee, I'll go under the tires and cut a couple wires. So check out that. I know you're on a certain shout out tier, but for the small price of, $1,500?
Don't encourage it.
A week? You can just anyone.
For how long? $1,500 a week for how long? Once you've done the job.
Once I've done the job, and I do not move fast. I do not move quickly. I move whenever I want, and sometimes I don't even do the job at all.
Yeah, okay.
Sometimes, midway through the call, I snip the telephone wire. Just to make sure that you can't get any of my information. I shouldn't be telling you this, Tyler, because I feel like you're maybe not going to pay me to do the job now. So
I think you've lost that lead.
I will. I will do it if I feel like it.
Thanks to Chris.
We heard about the sea serpent pished. Well, this is crished.
It wasn't pished. It was pished.
Pished. But this is crished.
It's kind of pished, yeah.
It is kind of pished. Well, this is crished. And he didn't carve the mountains, but he did carve some pretty cool other things.
Well, Christ did a lot of cool things. Turned water into wine.
Not
for
Jesus
one.
Christ. Krish. Oh, they're our supporter on Patreon. They carve things out of marble. So it's kind of like carving mountains, but it's like smaller and way more erotic.
Oh, wow. They should think about doing it with crystal.
Oh, that would be nice. Crystal. It's nice.
So, but sorry, you said it was erotic?
It's extremely erotic. Yeah. Marble honkers.
Thanks to Richard Field. Richard, I hate to tell you, but you failed.
Oh, no. Failed what?
His driving test. I hate to tell you. I hate to break it to you. I hate to break it to you, but someone's got to tell you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think he something went wrong at that downhill portion where the brakes didn't work. If you catch my drift.
Oh, no. God.
And he did catch a drift. For? He caught quite a big drift, actually. Around the corners and off into a lake.
Thanks to Brittany Robinson. They call her Litany Brittany because she's always got a litany of offenses on her record.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
We know a good lawyer.
Kind of just,
him.
Yeah, just kind of, they're expensive, though. Just kind of racking up offenses, charges faster than she can beat them.
Oh my god.
You know
what, crimes?
She'll get off like petty theft, and by the time they've got her off, like the lawyer's like, congratulations, you're free. She's like, not really. While you were getting me off, I stole the judge's dog. And then she's back. She's never out of the dock.
Does theft scale? Are there terms for the scaling of theft? You know, you have like petty theft, and then what's,
yeah,
how does
I think
it
that's
scale?
The name of the game. Grand Theft Auto.
Grand theft. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it does. Yeah. Yeah. It does. It does.
There's
scale.
A difference,
okay.
Whether you steal the crown jewels versus.
I want to know what the biggest.
Vape pen.
What's the biggest theft? Cosmic theft? You know what? This has got to be something really cool. Ooh. Galactic theft? That's what I want to go down for. Not all this brake cutting shit.
Maybe episode theft because you stole this double yes from my
Yikes.
Glass today.
Well, I didn't steal too hard because we didn't even get one.
And lastly today, to Benjamin Bask.
Benjamin was hoping to bask in the glory of another double yes, but unfortunately, as Kit said, I stole it this week. He went for the slam dunk and I slapped it out of his hands. Shut down. So I'm sorry, Benjamin. Hopefully next week, if you're tuning in, we'll be able to deliver you that elusive double yes.
Sorry, Benjamin. It's been real. Thank you so much for tuning into This Paranormal Life this Tuesday. We, of course, are cooking up the next batch of nonsense for you next week. We'll be back, of course, on Friday with the after party over on patreon.com/thisparanormallife. And later in the month with the bonus episode. But Rory, until then, I say, remember to live fast,
investigate, and die young, baby!
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.